Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to another podcast of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Hello, Bev. How's your week going?
It is flying by. Oh, my goodness. After the convention, so much to do, and we're getting re-energized and ready to go again.
So you gotten rested up from last weekend?
I think so. Yesterday, oh boy, I was dragging yesterday, but I'm good to go. So I'm looking forward to our Meet the People and getting back on track with that. And I've got several people lined up.
Oh, that's going to be great. Well, we have a great guest here today. And I owe it primarily to Bev because she reached out to this individual. Tackled him as he was on his way out the front door and said, "Hey, come back here. We want to interview you."
Right now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on at this time Mr. Mark Harris. Mark, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you for having me.
Mark, we're just so tickled to have you on with us today. Maybe there's a lot of people that don't know you, so this is just simply a way of introducing you to the membership, giving them the opportunity to learn a little bit about you, to get to know you a little bit better. So what we like to do, Mark, is to have you share with us about your vision loss. How did all that come about?
Well, I was congenitally blind, called it back in the day. Congenital malformation of the eye, and I also had glaucoma from birth.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, are you considered low vision, or are you totally blind?
Totally blind, yeah.
Totally. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So did you attend school for the blind, or did you attend public school?
Well, I went to Illinois school. In those days, it was called Illinois Braille and Sight Saving School. Nowadays, it's Illinois School for the Visually Impaired in Jacksonville, Illinois.
Can I say something right there?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's where a lot of my family live. And I had an aunt that attended that school. Something
really?
Else we've got in common. Yes.
What was her
Sorry
name?
Sorry to interrupt. Goldie Reinbolt.
I have met her years and years ago.
Are you kidding me? Oh,
no,
look
no.
What a small world it is.
It is. Yes, it is.
Sorry to interrupt it.
No problem. No problem. So, Mark, share with us a little bit about your family. You got brothers, sister, children, aunts, uncles. Whatever
well,
you want to share with us.
It'll be a short answer because I just have one older brother, and he lives in Brownsville, Texas.
Okay. And no children or anything like that?
I have one son who's grown, 27 years old.
Oh, okay. All right. Mark, did you tell us a little bit about you shared there just a moment there, but did you attend college anywhere?
Yes, I went to the University of Illinois and bachelor's and master's of both.
Okay,
in
good.
In political science, public administration.
Yeah. So where did that land you as far as employment? Describe to us a little bit about your employment history.
Well, I was 4 years with the Illinois Secretary of State, what they used to call the Public Inquiry Section, really with a fancy name for customer service. I guess you would call it teleservice rep for 4 years. And, of course, the Secretary of State of Illinois, they deal with license, drivers, and vehicle registration. Primarily, they do also corporation filing for any corporation in the state. That's the primary function. So 4 years on the phone with trying to answer taxpayer inquiries.
Okay, so you're no longer employed?
No, I'm retired. And then after that, I did sales for a couple of years with some software. That was in the mid-80s. Worked at the Lighthouse for 3 years total. Then the last 18 years of work I was a blind vendor in Texas.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And I've been retired for 8 years now.
Okay. All right. Very good. How old a person are you, Mark?
67. Younger than both of you.
Thanks. I've been getting this theme all weekend.
I just had to throw that in there.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, Bev's been accused of getting old and crepit. So. Bev, I know you've got some questions for Mark, so just go right ahead.
Oh, my gosh. I was not prepared for some of these that I'm going to lead into now. Illinois, were you born in Jacksonville?
La Harpe, Illinois. I was born in La Harpe, Illinois.
No kidding. You know La Harpe, too? Oh, my gosh. I'm from Colchester.
Colchester. Wow. I know it well. Actually, I'm from... I was born in La Harpe. So since you're from Colchester, you know Burnside, Illinois.
Yes.
Not on the map in many times, I've noticed over the years. Carthage is, but Burnside, no. Too small.
Yeah, I got a good friend in Carthage. And Carthage, Blandinsville, Macomb, Colchester, Quincy, all that area.
Yeah, I got my aunt in Quincy, nephew Quincy, yeah. Uh-huh. Grandparents, before they passed, lived in Quincy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I came here because my fiance at the time got a job at McDonnell Douglas. And I just think God works in mysterious ways. He brought me to Missouri for a reason. And I'm very, very blessed to know those in Missouri Council of the Blind. So I love getting to meet the people.
Yeah. Well, you don't often meet people from Colchester, Illinois.
No, you don't.
Or Burnside, for that matter.
Yeah. What was the population of Burnside?
Well, I was less than 100 at that time. I'm sure it's not much more now.
Yeah, I get it. It was 1,600 people when I was in Colchester. My daughter and I went back, probably about 20 years ago, and she said, population 1,500. I said, oh, no, honey, it's 16. She said, Mom, the sign said 15. I said, oh, my gosh, 100 people. We got to go find them. But the economy is dropping in that area, and there's not a whole lot for people to stay around for.
Yeah, that's what my it's interesting you mentioned that, because Illinois has been losing population. I talked to my cousin up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, last December, I think. He's getting ready to retire because he was saying the same thing about the economy. And he said cost of living, weather and electric costs were so high, and they're losing population. Yeah, he lives in Nauvoo, by the way.
Nauvoo? No kidding. Blue
no
cheese.
Kidding. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a small world it is. And now you
Definitely.
Live in St. Louis, or are you in
Rock Hill? Is the specific
Rock term Hill. Right? Okay.
St. Louis County, yes.
Yeah. And a brother in Texas.
Yes.
Yeah. Is your son close by? Is he still
in St.
Louis?
No, he's in Salt Lake City.
Oh, okay. Another place to go visit, Mark.
Too cold out there. You have to make it snow by September. Like, wow.
Yeah, see, my youngest daughter, she's now in Destin, Florida. And she said something a few weeks ago about all the company she's had. And I said, well, it was your decision to move to a tourist spot.
I like their weather much better.
Oh, me too. Me too. Yeah. So, all right, Chip, I'm not going to hog it, but I will come back. I will be back, Mark. Go ahead, Chip.
Yeah. So, Mark, is your vision loss, is it hereditary?
No, as far as I know, it was not.
Oh, so your brother or your son were not?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Oh, my son has RP. He has RP.
Oh, okay. So his mother. He
got it from that from his mother.
Oh, okay. And what kind of work does he do?
Last time he was going to college, kind of uncertain what he wanted to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was it exactly that brought you from Illinois to St. Louis?
Well, there wasn't any work in Illinois. And St. Louis being the larger, the metropolitan area for a couple hundred miles, actually. Largest metropolitan area, that was the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark, you know, being born with the condition that you were born with, I'm sure, of course, you didn't know really, you know, what it was like to have someone with sight. So you probably didn't face a lot of the mental challenges that some folks do that later on in life maybe lose their sight. But I do want to ask you, what kind of challenges did you face as growing up someone with a vision loss?
Opportunity, I think, probably. Got done with the school for the blind, went to community college first, and noticed that I didn't have skills that I would have hoped to have had or other students. Some of the academics I did have, but the school for the blind didn't teach a lot of social skills or planning skills. Of course, at a school for the blind, don't know if either one of you went there. Things are pretty well regimented for you, your routine, your daily routine. And then, of course, in the area, as I got older, the area of employment was always a challenge because you had to, it seemed like every job you applied for, you had to, if you ever got an interview, you had to explain how you were going to do the job or that you could do the job and how you were going to do it. And sometimes you weren't believed, so obviously you didn't get the job. A real awakening, and I alluded to this earlier, living in a rural area as a blind person, transportation is a problem, a big problem. So that's why the move to a metro area. And like I said, St. Louis, for the whole western central Illinois, is the metro area, even though it's in a different state.
Mark, how was it also, you know, you mentioned social skills. How was it? Were you able to make a lot of friends or were they far and in between? Did you have a lot of close friends growing up, making friends?
At the school for the blind, yes. Of course, that was many years ago now, looking back, but yes. But you didn't have as much integration into ears that were sighted. Everybody around you was either blind or partial. We used to call them back in the day. I guess they call it visually impaired now. But you didn't have interaction with classes, with activities with sighted students. And that was kind of a drawback. And of course, you would bring those things up. Maybe it's junior high school. And of course, the school for the blind would say, well, but there are advantages to the school for the blind. And I don't disagree to some extent, but there was definitely equally as true. It was that you didn't have interaction with kids your age, peers your age who were sighted. And after you get out of high school, after you get out of high school, whatever your track is going to be, employment, college, you're thrown into sighted society. You're a little bit sheltered, I guess maybe the way to say it, at the blind school.
Okay. Were you involved in any blind consumer organizations after you graduated high school and college? Did you get involved in any blind consumer organizations while you were still living there in Illinois?
Yes, I was in the NFB for years, on and off, and I joined the MCB in 2017.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, we're just so happy that you joined MCB. We love having you here. What was it about MCB that brought you over to this organization?
Well, St. Louis, they seem to have more involvement by the blind community. And they have programs for the technology program where you can get assistance. It just seemed like the blind people that you would come in contact with were in Missouri Council.
Yeah. Mark, how would you describe yourself to someone that maybe didn't know you? How would you describe yourself? Well, let's just start physically. Are you a tall guy?
I'm not. 5'9", between 5'8 and 5'9". You know, as you get older, you shrink, I'm told.
I'm not shrinking. I'm not shrinking yet.
Well, you're just a tad taller than I am, so I'm like 5'8". So I'm not a tall guy either. So, yeah.
I'd always been, as my coach or gym teacher in Jacksonville would say, kind of roly-poly.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to pass it over to Bev because I know she's got some more questions for you.
You know, I was trying to think of members of Missouri Council that went to Illinois School for the Blind, and Brian Howell's name pops up. I'm pretty sure he went there too. Did you know Brian?
You're right on. Yes, I did. He was a boy. 2 years, 3 years behind me.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I sure did.
Yeah, interesting.
Did Kim go there too, or
no?
How did those two meet?
My understanding is, I don't know how, but they lived in the same, well, in the Metro East Side.
Okay.
I don't know how they met.
Oh, yes. Were they like Collinsville, Belleville, somewhere?
I think Brian was Collinsville, and I don't know where she was from.
Yeah,
you know,
interesting.
It was in the Metro East, but I don't know where.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've never regretted moving to Missouri. I just think it's been a blessing for me and meeting all the people here. And I do still have that connection back in Illinois, too. And oh, boy, I bet we could really talk. I did stop in. My mother lived there in Jacksonville and when she was still living. And I told her one day, you know, can we stop at the School for the Blind? I'd like to stop and see if I could get a tour. So we did. And I didn't get a huge tour, but they showed me their little museum and all the different Braille writers that they had. Oh, my gosh, that was interesting.
I haven't been back to the school since 1990.
Uh-huh.
For alumni. Now they hold alumni every other year in Springfield. I think they go back to the school for, you know, a banquet, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If that hasn't changed, the pandemic kind of threw things off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Actually, growing up, my parents moved us to probably another town you know, New Berlin, Illinois.
Yes.
Which is outside of Jacksonville, about 15 miles east.
Uh-huh.
Headed towards Springfield. So, I'd throw that in there since you're a local person. You'd know about New Berlin.
Yep. Yep. In fact, I lived in Ashland, too.
Wow. Yeah. I know it well. Route 125.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Chip, I didn't know I was going to go this direction.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. You know, now I didn't go to School for the Blind. I wasn't legally blind yet. I had cornea. I had Stevens-Johnson syndrome when I was a child. So I went to Galesburg to Carl Sandburg Junior College and took accounting there. And then got a job in Macomb. But this isn't my interview. I'm just telling you, Mark. He probably knows people in Galesburg too, Chip.
Yeah. Well, I want to jump in here. Bev, you jumped in on me. I'm going to jump in on you.
Just yes. Real quick, Mark, were you involved in any a lot of the school activities? Did you do sports or any of those other
oh,
type
yes.
of things?
So wrestling and track were the two
really
extracurricular activities. Track, of course, was just among the blind schools, and wrestling, of course, among the local schools and the other state schools for the blind.
Well, that's interesting. Sorry, Bev.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. That's what keeps us going is we just intermingle different conversations here, you know, and yeah, it is interesting. You know, Mark, when I was in public school and my depth perception wasn't that great. So I did not care for softball because I couldn't tell the ball was there till it was right on top of you. But I was great at serving in volleyball, you know. But the sports were a challenge. And now my son-in-law teaches PE and health in the Kansas City area. And I've talked to him about if you have a student that does have any vision problems, you know, be considerate of it. Because it is tough for students. They don't, at least I didn't want to be any different than any of the other kids in school. You know, so I didn't get any special assistance or help. And I know that's hard to intermingle that, but there's plus and minuses with going to the school for the blind or public school. And I did drive for 7 years and only had one accident, and that black cow got in my way. You know how those country roads are around La Harpe.
I do. Yes, I do. What's interesting you mentioned about visually impaired being involved in sports, because I know that I heard about anyway. Those partials, if you will, until my age here, that went to a school in a state where the deaf and the blind schools were together. Mm-hmm. And some of the high partials would be on the football team, because the deaf would have a football team and basketball team, heard in some cases, but mainly they would play football.
Uh-huh.
Not all of them, of course, but only if you had enough usable vision.
Yeah.
So the sports was a challenge for me, you know, but that's why I like to make sure my son-in-law knows of adapting, you know, the sports for those who do have. He did have a young lady just a couple years ago that was blind, and he was all excited about making things accessible for her. And then he said they wouldn't let her take the class. They pulled her out and put her in another class, not PE related, but. And I thought, oh, that's too bad. That's really too bad.
I've heard of that happening. And that's one thing the blind school did have was PE classes. So, I mean, like you said, there's pros and cons on each side of that issue.
Now, is a tuition, or not tuition, the enrollment in the school for the blind, are they starting to drop?
Oh, big time, yes. With going, you know, integrating blind and visually impaired students into the public schools, really taking down the enrollment of the schools for the blind. And I know that even when I was going, the early 70s when I was in high school, that there's a twofold problem in Illinois. One, the integration, and I say problem, I mean for the schools for the blind specifically. People even in downstate Illinois were having their kids they wanted them to stay at home with them, of course. We didn't have that option in the earlier years. But the other problem was Chicago. People weren't not going to send their kids 200 plus miles down to the school for the blind when the city schools could handle it and did in the suburb schools. So Illinois, it's really dwindled. Last I heard, it was 40 students, maybe 40 to between 40 and 50.
Wow.
And at the height, I think we had, this was like 1970, 215, I think.
Oh, wow. Wow. And what is it here in Missouri School for the Blind? Do you know?
I think it's in that 30 to 40 range. Don't hold me to it, though.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
And here, of course, you have the same issues in this state. People want their kids to stay home and have that opportunity. And you have Kansas City on the west side of the state and school being in St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. My granddaughter goes to Francis House School District here in St. Charles County. And she tells me that they've got several blind students there, and they've got a great special ed program there for them. So, yeah, as a parent, I think I would want to send my child to the school that they're getting a rounded education and try to experience, get them involved in as much as possible.
Well, yeah, and just from the family perspective, who wants to send, especially if you're a couple hundred miles away,
yeah,
a child away at Labor Day, don't see him till Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now I think that was how it was years ago. I think now the schools either close on the, I know they did in Texas, close on the weekends and they ship everybody home on mm-hmm. weekends, which they did not do, of course, years ago. In the past,
mm-hmm.
if you couldn't yeah. afford to come down and get your child or the time wouldn't permit, it just stayed.
Yeah.
Sometimes for 2 to 3 months.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I met you with the Budget and Finance Committee with Missouri Council, and I was impressed in some of the comments that you had to make, and you learn a lot about Missouri Council when you look at their budget.
Yes, definitely. It was very interesting. And of course, that's my area of being in self-employed, numbers.
Yep. Yep. And we really need people like you too. So I'd like to see you get more involved and with Meet the People, we're going to get your name out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Chips asked me if there's any question. Didn't want me to re-ask. Oh, go for it.
Now, Mark, are you a member at large or do you belong to one of our special
yes.
interest affiliates?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, good. Very, very good.
Member at large.
Yeah, okay. You kind of strike me as, and maybe I'm way off here, but you kind of strike me as a outdoorsy kind of guy. Do you like doing a lot of stuff outdoors or do you like staying inside?
I'm not the outdoor type, no.
Okay. All right.
Indoor.
Okay. All right. So what kind of things do you like to do leisurely? Do you have like different kind of things, different hobbies or kind of things you like to do? What are your interests?
I like reading a lot. I like keeping up with politics and current events. Recently, my wife and I both have gotten into going to the gym. And then, the usual stuff, reading, nonfiction only. Just church activities.
So do you?
I'm just your normal guy.
Do you consider yourself more of an introvert or extrovert?
Well,
okay.
I used to be more of an extrovert. I think I'm probably more introverted now.
Yeah. How did you and your wife meet?
We met here in the area. She's from St. Charles originally. Not originally, but as an adult, she grew up in the Florissant. The how of it was back in the day, of course, in the 90s, they had the good old personal ads in the RFT and Riverfront Times and the county journals. I put an ad in there and she answered it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark, you've been in 1996.
Okay. Well, Mark, you've been a member of MCB now for a number of years. You've probably now gotten a little bit more acclimated to some of the services and programs that we provide. Is there any one service or program that maybe stands out in your mind that you've really enjoyed or have found to be very beneficial?
Well, I did receive help years and years ago with a scholarship. So that's one program. And the I think the technology grants would be the two main ones. Probably, just a political science, public administration background, like education and advocacy, the advocacy part of it with the legislature and the Congress.
Now, see, Bev, that's a part of him I never did see before until now, until he's just started talking about it.
So
here's, that's a place that we could really get him involved.
Absolutely. And I was even thinking, I bet he would enjoy personnel, too.
Yeah, I believe he would. Seems like he has the experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that reminds me of the days of having to hire people, yes.
Wow.
Did
you ever have to fire anyone?
Yes, I did.
Ooh.
You learn a lot when you have to hire and fire people, yes. You do learn a lot.
Yeah, I've always said you don't really know someone until you work with them.
That's right.
Very true. Very true.
Well, Mark, when you had your BEP stand, where was it located?
Well, I've had three different locations. I had one at a courthouse in Edinburgh, Texas, which is a small convenience store. We had some food, but mostly packaged items. And then I had one at this will date me, the Levi Strauss factory in Brownsville, Texas.
Oh,
that was a cafeteria.
Yeah.
Then for the last 13 years, I had a vending route, which soda and snack machines at various state and federal locations. Prison, you know, and federal, well, of course, down there was the Border Patrol, your federal courthouse, all the state agencies. It was fun. You had to go around and service those machines. But it was a good living.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, sure.
Well, I have a question about the it's Randolph-Shepard.
Randolph-Shepard, yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Isn't there an affiliate with that name within Missouri, not Missouri Council, as American Council?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
is
there
it
is.
Still active?
It's still around.
Okay. Yeah. Wonder why Missouri Council doesn't have an affiliate like that.
Yeah.
I know some states do. I don't know why there isn't one in Missouri, I don't know.
Okay, another question. Are they still as active as they used to be? Are people going into that program as much as they used to?
Well, starting, this is my take on it. When I think I got in 97, there was, don't hold me to the exact numbers, but 3,800 blind vendors throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand there's some 2,500, so that kind of answers that question.
Mm.
And the pandemic hasn't helped at all. But even before the pandemic, the numbers were going down.
Mm-hmm. Did they have to make changes in what kind of vending machines they had, or?
Well, I think you just didn't get, there just weren't as many. Either consolidated or, you know, locations together.
Mm-hmm.
And some offices would be small offices, and they would just, you know, especially the federal government would lease an area. State governments do it too, but it would not be profitable for a location. And I don't think all the, I know when I was in the program that the, not all the federal, state locations, county locations were taken. They just didn't have them. They didn't. The state agency didn't go after. Didn't go after the. A lot of the, you know, even though universities are funded by the state and federal government, most states didn't have blind vendors in any of the universities in any way, shape, or form. Military bases. We finally got into that back in the 90s, and while we have some throughout the country, they're not not all of them by any stretch. We don't even have a large percentage of them. I don't think people are going into it. I don't really know all the reasons why. Like I said, I found that it was a good living.
It's been down here. It's been down here in Missouri too. Yeah, it's been way down.
That's what I understand.
When you had yours, Mark, what I know here in Missouri, you they're like different levels. I don't know what level you may have been at when with the stand that you had. I don't know. Was it a pretty full fledged stand that you had, or what was it exactly that you did with the stand that you had?
Well, when I went through in Texas, it was everybody trained and could do whatever. You could bid on whatever was available.
Okay.
Missouri has a unique situation where, yes, you do train for different levels and can only bid for those that you're trained for. In Texas, they had your training, you could go with any, could apply for, didn't necessarily mean you would get, but you certainly could bid on that any location.
Okay. Well, Bev, we have time for just a couple of more questions. So if you want to ask your questions, go right ahead.
I thought of a new question, Chip. You know, we don't usually do the hobbies and your interests, but I've got a new question. What is on your bucket list, Mark?
Oh, that is a good question.
Well, I don't know. I had to think about that one. These new questions for an old guy is kind of hard to do. To be honest with everybody involved here, my bucket list right now is just maintaining and improving health. Without going much further into it, you get older, you feel like you might need to improve your health if you want to feel better. So that's on my bucket list, and I know it sounds strange.
No, I totally understand since I'm older.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
I asked my brother that one time. He did 30 years in the Navy and aircraft carriers all over the world. And I said, you know, Gene, where have you not been you'd really like to go visit? He thought about it for a minute, and he said, North Dakota. I go, what? North Dakota? Well, I've never been there before. He said, I've been to all the states. I said, so it's just a checkoff. He said, no, I'd really like to go see North Dakota because it's so different than what we're used to here or any place that he had been to. So travel. Is there any place that you've never been that you'd like to travel to, Mark?
Maybe Canada. I don't really have real big travel plans or interests. When I lived in Brownsville, of course, Mexico was right there, so we did go over into Mexico. But I'm not a travel person, really, I guess, strangely enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, my eye doctor specialist was in Detroit, Michigan. So my parents would take us, you know, go ahead and take the Windsor Bridge into Canada, and we would travel across there, and it was beautiful. Of course, I do remember my dad, though, with Quebec, with the street signs in French. So that was a little challenge. But
I imagine it would be.
It is a beautiful area, too.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I have one last question for you as we close out the podcast for today. What is there about Mark Harris that nobody knows except those that are closest to you that you wouldn't mind sharing? What is it about Mark Harris that makes him tick? Maybe it could be, you know, someplace that you've been, something that you really like to do. What is there anything about Mark Harris that you would like to share with us that so we could get close and up front to really get to know you? What is there about Mark Harris that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I don't talk too much about political views and or religious views. But in 1991, I became a believer in Christ. So that's the biggest area that I don't push on people and probably ought to do more of. I don't know. I shouldn't push, wouldn't be the right word, but talk more about. But that's the Lord's the biggest part of my life. That's my main area. I like other things that, you know, we mentioned earlier, but that would be the main. And I know you're not supposed to talk politics and religion, at least in today's American society, but that would be it.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, for sharing that with us. You're perfectly fine in doing so, because I'm right there with you. I'm also a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of people in MCB that are also born-again Christians. So you're doing just
fine.
That's
great.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Thank you for sharing that, Mark.
Yes.
Sure.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. It's been absolutely wonderful and fascinating. So thank you so much for being our guest here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might find yourself right here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Until then, y'all take good care, and we'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.